Okay, the indefinite integral. So what I was saying yesterday was that the definite integral was when we substitute numbers into our function that we eventually find. So we come up with a definite answer. The indefinite integral is like what we did with the primitive function, where we leave it with just plus a constant. And because we have plus a constant, then we're not definite of the final answer, hence the name indefinite integral, and that's really the only difference. So all the rules for integration are exactly the same. Now, voila. So that's exactly the same as the one with the definite integral, except we've got plus a c instead of having the square brackets and we substitute numbers in. That's really the only difference between a definite and an indefinite integral. Now, this is what we sometimes call the useful theorem, because it can be useful. Now, it's not limited to indefinite integral. I mean, you can use this for definite integrals as well. And what it's basically saying is, if you have a linear function to some power, then you can still use the idea of add 1 to the power over the power, but notice on the bottom of the fraction, you also have the coefficient of x, whatever the coefficient of x is. So if you've got a linear function to some power, add 1 to the power over the power, but also on the bottom of the fraction, multiply by the coefficient of x. And that can be useful because that will save us having to expand out the whole parentheses and then have to integrate each individual bit. But as I say, unfortunately, it only works for linear functions. So if you've got a quadratic in there, sorry, going to have to expand it out. Or anything higher, going to have to expand it out. Okay, so must be a linear function. So, for example, we've got 2 minus 5x to the power of 3 that we're integrating. So add 1 to the power, which gives us 4, over the power, but then that 4 I've multiplied by the coefficient of x, which was negative 5. So on the bottom, we get 20. So we've got negative 1 20th, 2 minus 5x to the power of 4, but of course it's indefinite, so it's plus a constant. Now, don't get lazy with your plus a constant for a couple of reasons. What you'll find in a test situation, if you've got a series of integrations, they'll probably pick one question, not necessarily the first one, and say, this is the one where we'll penalise if they leave off plus a constant. Because usually what happens, if you leave it off one, you tend to leave it off all of them. And so it would be unfair to penalise again and again and again and again for the same mistake. So usually just pick one and say, well, all right, if they happen to do it on this question, then we'll take a mark off. You can get lucky, of course, and just pick, all right, let's play probability. I reckon it'll be that one, and I'll only put plus C on that. But then why would you do that? So just remember to put plus a C. If we're then going to use this in some question where we might then have to find the equation of the curve and they've given us the coordinates of a point, then the plus C becomes very important because that obviously adds to the equation of the actual curve. So if you leave the plus C off, it then can affect further parts of the question if they do have more. A hand is about to rise. It just represents, if you think about it, a shift up or a shift down. Because if you've got y equals some function and you add a constant, it moves the curve up or down. And that's why. Because if you think about it, the derivative measures the slope of a tangent at a particular point, at a particular x value. So if you shift the curve up or down, the slope of the tangent's not changing. And so that's why you have a whole series, a family of curves, if you like. And so unless we know a particular point on the curve, we don't know which particular curve it is. So they might give us some additional information and say it goes through the point, oh, I don't know, 210 or something like that. And then we can substitute those values in and work out what the constant actually is. If it was a curve question. So, all right. OK. Okay, now we don't have rules for integration like we do for differentiation. We don't have a quotient rule. So I can't actually integrate this the way it stands. I have to turn it into index form to do it. So this one we could rewrite as 3x plus 1 all to the power of negative 2. But that's all right. We've got a linear function to the power of negative 2. We just need to add 1 to the power. Again, being careful with those negative numbers. If we add 1 to the power, it's actually negative 1. But also with this one, we multiply by the coefficient of x. So you'll notice on the bottom of the fraction, I don't have negative 1, but I have negative 3. I tend to write my answers in the way they ask them. Same with when we're differentiating. So they didn't use negative indices. So my answer, I haven't used negative indices. I've taken it out of index form and written it as minus 1 on 3 times 3x plus 1. Reality, just check how many marks the question's worth. In all probability, you would get full marks for minus a third 3x plus 1 to the negative 1 because you have integrated. I mean, you've achieved what they wanted. You probably would get full marks for that step. Okay, similar here, we've got a surd. Again, we haven't got a rule that allows us to integrate surds, so we've got to change it to index form. So square root is power of a half. So we add 1 to the power, so it becomes 3 on 2, over the power. So when we have a fraction, we turn it upside down, so that's 2/3. But also on the bottom of the fraction, multiplied by the coefficient of x. So times 2 on the bottom of the fraction. The 2's cancel nicely, so I get a third 2x plus 1 to 3 on 2. There's the answer a mere mortal would give. But of course, we want a super answer. So we'll put this in the surd form. 3 on 2, well, that's the same as 1 and a half. So I have 2x plus 1 to the power of 1 times 2x plus 1 to the power of a half, which is, of course, the square root of 2x plus 1. Again, the other reason for doing that is probably an easier thing to substitute into, depending on the number. If you get lucky, say you were substituting x equals 0, then it doesn't matter, because if you sub 0 into there, well, 1 to the power of anything is 1, so it's going to work. But if we had 2, then 2 2's are 4, plus 1 is 5. We don't know the square root of 5 exactly, so the surd form would give us the exact answer. So again, it really depends on what the question is asking after that. If it simply said integrate it, full marks again would probably be just given for the power of 3 on 2. Going that extra step is really not needed. Having said that, if full marks is going to be given to power of 3 on 2 and you decide to take it a step further and screw it up, you're not going to lose marks, all right? Because if people are getting full marks for writing to the power of 3 on 2, why should you be penalised because you tried to take it a step further and made a mistake in there when you could have stopped just like the other people and got the full marks? So you shouldn't lose a mark if that's where they're giving full marks. Okay, as I said, just a quick little one this morning. So 11D, a few using our useful theorem.